Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcasts. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Broadcasting from Bashani Radio, iHeart, live from New York City, this is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe. If you want to know more about me and what I do, go to LindaMonroe.com. Don't forget to go to Google Play and download Bashani Radio app and put this on your phone so you can listen to us on the go. We're live in New York City talking about in and everything. I also want to thank my guests for listening to my broadcast each and every week. You made me one of the top radio broadcasts last month, so I do appreciate that. This show is sponsored by Rashad Details, Have Wills Will Go. Terry Ingram, Sr., CEO. So go down there and visit him and get your car clean. It'll look just like it comes straight off the showcase. Today, I am so, so excited. I mean, you're going to be so thrilled to hear the guest that I have on this morning. Listen, listen. She's going to show us how to create that wealth, because God did not put us here to be poor. And you know to use your money for somebody else, not just you. So she's going to give us the way to get that wealth so we can be a blessing. Also, important thing about her is she is a pastor as well. So I'm glad to know her, and hopefully she'll be my lifetime friend. Let me tell you a little bit about her. She's Dr. Sonia R. Hamm. She is the founder and principal of the Financial Boss Academy. It serves as a certified personal finance specialist. Credit, if you got some bad credit, she can help you get it straightened out, okay? She's also a business strategist. She's an international speaker, an award-winning author with a specialization in results-driven financial coaching. So she's a financial coach, and she's going to tell you how not to get involved with these credit repair places, okay? She said you need a coach. All right. Again, like I said, she's also a pastor, so God is definitely guiding and leading her life to let us know how to live the best life. She's also leveraging lessons she's learned through her personal journey to financial freedom. Dr. Sonia empowers high definition winners to conquer their money emotions, dominate money, and win in life through systematic coaching that builds resilience and ultimately, which is the goal, that financial freedom, so we can be a blessing to our fellow man. Good morning, Dr. Hamm. How are you?
I am wonderful, and thank you so much for that warm introduction. I'm just here to help people. That's what I like to say. I know we have to do all of that part, but at the end of the day, I just love helping people. That's what I'm here for.
I know the hardest thing I had to do to deal with growing up, Dr. Hamm, is that to come in contact with selfish people. I just could not put my mind around that, how people could just think of themselves and nobody else. So I'm glad we got that connection. We're on a like mindset. But I do have one question I need to ask you, and that is, what has been the lowest point in your life? And how has it propelled you to where you are today?
Well, the lowest point in my life actually happened this year, if we answer that question. My brother went home to be with the Lord in January, just as soon as we came into this new year. And that was the first person that I lost that was that close to me, first person in our intimate family. And let me tell you, that has caused me to really do some soul searching, really put my ministry in perspective, put my coaching in perspective. And, you know, it just taught me how precious each day is and how precious this life is that we have. And the reason that we don't want to squander our lives and not really fulfill the potential that I believe God has in each one of us. Every one of us has a mega potential that's just waiting to be released. And so that has inspired me to go harder. It's inspired me to reach more people and just help people live the good life that God has promised us on this side.
Well, I know I met you on a conference call with Dr. Lee Lewis, and she was struggling with, here she is an expert and giving her information away free, and she still couldn't get people to do it. And, you know, so people were telling her to, you know, discharge them. But I'm like her, you know, God told his disciples when they went out, you know, I'm giving you these powers. I want you to go. Don't take nothing for your journey. So my concept is the same. You know, if God give me something, I'm going to give it to you for free. But my coach was like, oh, no, you're not, Linda. You're going to get paid. So how do you feel about that concept as well? Because I'm sure we're probably on the same mindset here.
Absolutely. And actually, I believe that that has been one of the key struggles for those that are in the kingdom. And that is, everything that God gives us is free. We don't have to pay for the air we breathe. We don't have to pay for the sun to shine or for the moon to light up the night sky. And so when we look at it from the concept of God, everything that we need is already here and it's already provided. However, I had to learn that one too, and that is to separate what you're going to give free from what you're going to charge. And so now I do give people enough information to get to know me, to build a relationship, but to really go anywhere, people are not going to. I've learned that people don't value free because they think it's a discount. And people really don't want free. What they really want is value, and they want to know what they're paying for is going to work. And so those are the two key things that I strive to provide value and to make sure that the things that I do offer and charge for, that, and that's why I say results-driven coaching, so people know when they pay for this program or whatever I offer, there should be some results to it. And I think that's the difference. There are some things we give away free that helps us build the relationship, but then the things that we charge for helps those that we serve to build their lives.
Now, I know you mentioned on one of your broadcasts that investment is the key to wealth. So can you kind of elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, I kind of expanded that word, investment. And I'm coming up with my own word for that one. I haven't quite nailed it yet because, of course, because of state licensing and different requirements, we have to be careful how we use the word investment. However, what I can say is that everything that we do is an investment, whether it's a tangible investment, a monetary investment. Everything that we do, we're investing. And when people understand every dollar that leaves out of your household is going to something, you're investing it in something. So take, for instance, a restaurant. If when you go sit down and have that meal and you pay for your meal at the restaurant, you just invested in that company. We've been taught to think of investing in the traditional sense of the stock market or investing in bonds or CDs. But what I strive to get my students to realize is everything that you do, you're investing. So now it helps you to make better choices as to where you're putting your money because every investment has a return. And when you understand the return that you want, then you'll put your money in better places. Let me put it that way. So, for instance, that restaurant, you can go eat the steak dinner where the return on that investment for you is the state dinner and maybe the good conversation that you had with those that are at dinner. However, you could have took that same $50 or $60 and invested it in somewhere else that would have brought a monetary return back to you. And that's how it helps us to create wealth. So it doesn't matter how much money we have. It's where we're putting our money and the return that we're getting that's helping us to achieve whatever financial goals we have.
Yeah, I definitely totally agree with you and on that. And tell us how you got to establish this Financial Boss Academy.
Well, real simple. I got tired of being broke. It wasn't so much of being broke. It was living paycheck to paycheck, you know, riddled with debt, and just going around this proverbial circle. And I thought, is this how I want to spend the rest of my life? Like, really, is this all there is to life, is get up, go to work, get a paycheck, pay your bills, and live off the rest? There has to be more. And so I always tell everybody, God has given us the entire world as our property. And so when I think of it in that respect, I'm like, you know, and I've traveled the world, but there are other places that I still have not seen. And so I looked at my situation, and I actually had quit my good government job to go into ministry. Then when I got into ministry, I realized that I didn't have a paycheck. And I was like, okay, wait a minute, now you really broke. Because what most people don't realize, or should I say it this way, most people live with their paycheck as their only financial plan. And so I realized in that moment that without that paycheck, I had no income. And I needed to do something. I could either stay where I was and depend on my husband, which I didn't want to do, or I could go back to work, which I didn't want to do because now I was enjoying my time freedom. And time is an asset that we can't, you know, you only get 124 hours every day. And so when I thought about it from that perspective, I didn't want to give up my time freedom. So I had to figure out how money moved, and that's my big thing now. I teach people how money moves so that you can make the best decision for you. Because what's happening in the marketplace now, you know, you hear one person talk about you need a budget. You hear somebody else say you need to invest. Somebody else is saying you need to invest in real estate. Somebody, you know, spend less and save more. Well, I don't believe in the spend less, save more theory because God is a God of abundance. And if we're going to follow according to the word of God, then he says that he'll give us the desires of our heart. But we have to have a plan of action to get there. So I developed a plan of action. I set out on a journey to learn how money worked, to learn how money moved, because prior to that, I didn't know anything beyond go to work, get your check, pay your bills, and live off the rest, which wasn't much left after that. And I didn't know anything about credit. I didn't know anything about business or how to start a business. So that's what got me on my journey. And I'm happy to say now, you know, we are well on our way. God has blessed us to erase $1.3 million worth of debt. So I'm not talking about a little debt. I'm not talking about I was in $20,000 worth of credit card debt. I'm talking about a whole lot of debt, okay? And I just followed the instructions, and then I wrote them out so that I could teach other people how to do it as well.
That is so awesome, and only that can come from God, Dr. Sam, trust me.
Absolutely, absolutely, because I didn't know what we were going to do. I was like, oh, and I had a whole lot of nights with you know, crying tears, and that was the promise I made. I said, you know what, God, if you get me out of this, I will teach everybody who's willing to learn. You got to be willing to be coachable, but everybody who's willing to learn, you know, because financial freedom is the plan of God for our lives. That is the plan of God for our lives.
I know what you mean about that, because I grew up thinking in the Baptist church, you know, they was all blessed as the poor in spirit and all this kind of crazy mess. And, you know, I'm reading the Bible, and I'm like, okay, something's wrong with this picture, okay? Because what I'm reading is this Bible is not manifesting in this church. So I'm going to have to regroup and rethink and get out of here. So I went to the, I'm a non-denominational, so that has helped propel my life into where I am today. But those Baptists, I'm telling you, they had me guilty, condemned. I mean, I couldn't do nothing. I woke up every day like, oh, Lord, am I going to die and go to hell because I did this or that or, you know, whatever. So I do thank God every day that he delivered me out of that Baptist church, girl.
Absolutely. And it's really religion. It's a spirit of religion,
yes,
that is bound in denominationalism, you know. And of course, you know, we have this thing, I don't know why we like to punish ourselves, but God is not a punisher. Hebrews 11 and 6 tells us that, you know, we have to have faith. And that it's faith that pleases God. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And they that come to him, and this scripture really set me free because I was bound in religion. I grew up in religion as well. And this scripture really set me free. And it said that God is a rewarder. And when I learned that, my life changed. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so what I found in the religious settings of denominationalism, I can't get that word out, but in those settings, most of the time people don't know the Bible. And that was my case. I didn't know what the Word of God said. And I definitely didn't know what the Word of God says as it related to prosperity, as it related to wealth. And so when you look through Scripture, I mean, there's over 2,000, most of the Bible is about prosperity. It's really not about gloom and doom. The gloom and doom is what happens when we're disconnected from God. But when we come into connection with God, he says, I desire above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So God doesn't have a problem. And the question I ask people is, how are we supposed to represent God? How are we supposed to minister the good news of the gospel? And broke, we can't do it. We can't do it. And
that's
he
right.
gave us the world. He gave us the world. Psalm 24 and 1 says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So everything belongs to God. And when you start understanding those facts, God does not want you broke, busted, and disgusted. Okay? We don't have to be greedy. You know, he doesn't want us operating in greed either, but he wants you to live a robust, abundant life so that you can represent him. And that's what I believe. And I'm speaking to the audience, but I'm saying that those that are listening today, God wants you to be blessed, but it's according to our desire. He's a gentleman. You know, he loves us so much that he's not going to make us do anything. He gives us a choice. And Deuteronomy 30 and around verse 15, he says, choose this day who you will serve. You know, choose the path of life, blessing or curses, life or prosperity. So I just chose. I said, okay, I see it in Scripture. I'm going to choose life and I'm going to choose prosperity. And that's, you know, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, all those people in the Bible, well, the way they got me by the hand was they was like, you know, money, they didn't put the love of money. You know, they say money is the root of all evil. And so that confused me because, like you said, you know, most of those people that were connected with God, they had probably what we call today is mansions. They lived in castles and palaces. And I'm like, okay, so how can they live that way and don't have money? It's just not feasible. You know what I'm saying? And so I had to kind of rethink and say, okay, yeah, God God give us the power to get the wealth.
And actually, if you keep on reading in that passage of scripture in 1 Timothy 6, where it says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." If you keep on reading, I think it's verse 18. I'm not sure. Don't quote me, but just keep reading, and it goes on to say, that God freely gives us all things to enjoy. So he's saying, you know, one of the scriptures that we mix up is when he says you can't serve God and money. Well, God is wealth. Yeah, God is wealth. So when we get the understanding that God is wealth, God, he said, so he is all things, right? So
right.
He is wealth. So what he's saying is don't make money your God, make me your God, and I'll bring the money. You know, he's in control of the money. He'll give you creative ideas. He'll give you ways. And he knows, and that was the revelation I had to come up with, that I came to, is that, wait a minute, God knows we need money. He knows I got to pay for somewhere to live. I got to pay for transportation. I got to pay for food to eat. So surely he doesn't want us to be broke. And I think we, you know, some people just don't want to put in the work, and they just put all the responsibility on God. Well, if God wanted me to be rich, he would make me rich. Well, he made the way for you to be wealthy. He said, you know, I desire above all things that you prosper. Then in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9 is one of my favorite scriptures. Paul is teaching, and he says, we know the grace, which is the unmerited favor of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Now, that word rich in that particular scripture means that he became poor that we could have well-being in every area of our life. So rich is to be fairly furnished, is to be abundantly supplied in every area of our lives. So God doesn't want us struggling, you know, but struggle is a choice. So if we struggle, it's because we choose not to learn a different way. That's how I like to say it anyway.
Right. Now, you say you quit your government job. Now, were you a pastor then, or how did it propel you into that faith? Because I'm, you know, I don't know which governmental agency you work for, but they usually pay you good money. So how did you come to the conclusion that, look, I got to leave here and trust God?
Well, actually, we had started a church, and soon after we started the church, my husband was still active duty military at the time. So as soon as we had started the church, that's when they were deploying to Iraq. And so they were trying to send him to Iraq, and it was like one of us has to be able to be full-time, you know, with the ministry, because we were in the infancy stages. And so that's where we made the decision for me to, you know, quit my job. And then the confirmation came. I was at a Women of Excellence conference in New Orleans with Pastor Deborah Morton. And the lady that was leading the service, she said, there's someone in here and you have resumes in the trunk of your car. And when I say, I literally had a box of resumes in the trunk of my car, literally had these resumes, and I was struggling because I wasn't able to get them mailed off before I left to get to the conference. So I brought them to the conference with me so that I could find a post office there and put them in the mail the next morning. She said, God says you're not going to need those resumes. You know, he's setting you on a new path. And so, and I tell everybody, be careful with prophecy, because you got to have the faith. So I always preface this, you have to have the faith to walk out on the prophecy. Well, God had already been dealing with me. So that was kind of my, you know, confirmation that what God had already been dealing with me about, that it was my time to do that. And so I did, not knowing that God would use that as a springboard to help me teach kingdom finance to the body of Christ. And so, again, through my own struggle of trying to figure all of this out, and then I kind of went through, he said, look at all of the patriarchs in the Bible. None of them, even if they started out, and my favorite is Gideon. So I'm going to say that even if they started out poor, they didn't stay poor for long. And my favorite one is Gideon, because Gideon says, I am the poorest of the poor of my family. And God didn't use that as a way, a reason not to use him. And then we know Gideon went on to be a mighty man of valor. And then even when we look at Abraham, he told Abraham, I want you to leave your country. I want you to leave everything that's familiar to you. Now, Abraham was wealthy when God called him. So I always teach that as those that are wealthy, that have built their wealth in the world system, God called Abraham out of the world system, and he said, now you go, and I'm going to show you a place. And so it takes faith. It takes faith. You know, Abraham literally had to give up everything that was familiar to him and step out on faith and trust God to rebuild his wealth, should I say. And then we know he was so wealthy that him and Lot, you know, got into somewhat of a altercation. They had so much stuff that the land was getting ready to sink. So they had to split up. So when we look at these people in Scripture, they were not broke. They were not poor. You know, and this picture that's been painted, even of Jesus, when it says he had nowhere to lay his head, well, that scripture is really talking about when he went into that city, they didn't want him to stay in the city because of the controversy that had been stirred up, you know, around his ministry. So they didn't want him to stay. It wasn't that, you know, he was poor, as you know, it's been painted. So that's kind of how I got started and how I was able to leave my job. And I'm not, you know, in all transparency, the first 2 years I was shaking in my boots. I really was. It was a faith walk, but I am so thankful for that journey because it's made me who I am today.
Yeah, that's really the key, because it was like when I stepped out on this journey, I had no clue of how it would manifest or how it would, but I thank God, because when I connected with my coach, it was like boom, boom, boom. I mean, because God does stuff and he does it quickly.
Yeah.
You know, he don't take long to do what he tell you he's going to do. So it was like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, okay, I need the radio. And we talked on Wednesday. My broadcast was up on Saturday, and I've been doing this for 2 years, thank God. So now I'm moving to the next level to go into television. And, you know, it was just such a shock to me how quickly God moves.
Yes.
And well, he'll put things right in place for you and put people to connect to get it done. So, of course, you're my next one to help me get this wealth situation going on, because as I was thinking about you talking about Abraham, I laugh about it because, you know, God told Abraham not to take none of his relatives with him when he left. And then he goes and takes Lot, and Lot caused him a lot of trouble.
Right, right.
So that was one principle that I learned from that. You know, if God tells you to do something, you need to follow his instructions to the T. Because if you divert from it, and I guess that was the lesson Abraham had to learn, because he diverted from what God said, as well as the guy that he was sending to Nineveh. You know, he diverted as well, and he ended up in the belly of a whale. So, listeners, listen, if God tells you to do something, you follow it to the T. Don't try to divert and try to figure it out on your own, because he is always in control. Right, Dr. Ham?
Absolutely. And the thing is, usually we get something and we try to carry everybody with us. And that's one of the, and I'm glad you tapped into that point, because that was one of the biggest things that I had to realize. I had to go first. And, you know, I started out that way too, because you're getting all this revelation, things are happening for you, and you're excited, and you want every, because we are all good people, and we want good for everybody else. So we try to take people with us, and they're not ready. You got to walk it out first. Let God deal with you first and get you to a place. And then when I started getting results, people didn't have a problem following. They don't have a problem following when they start seeing the results. But when you're just trying to take them and drag them, you're going to be frustrated. It's going to delay your journey, you know, because you're trying to convince people who just are not ready. They don't have the vision yet. You know, they're not at that place in their life. And remember, God is dealing with you. And that's one of the biggest things that I learned on this journey is, hey, you go and you stay with God. I don't care what it looks like, you know, outside. And I think that's one of the biggest things God is saying. Like, don't put anybody else in God's place. Let him lead you and let him guide you, and he's going to always bring you out on top. Every time he's going to bring you out on top.
Oh, yes, he will. Yes, he will, because it's like you just have to kind of surrender, if you will, to him and listen and put your trust and faith in him. And because, you know, a lot of us get into the flesh a lot, and I thank God for my pastor, Dr. Cliff Love Dollar. He always tells us about that flesh, because that flesh will take you places you don't want to go sometimes. And that's what I like what you said, when it's to conquer their money emotions, because those emotions can really, really get you tricked up.
Yes, and money emotions, that was my thing, because I was doing, you know, I was working. I had a good job. I was tithing. I was giving. I was serving. I was doing all of the duties, I guess you could say, all of that stuff. But nothing was changing in my life. Like, you know, and those are things that I'm like, hold up, wait a minute. So I started having conversations with God. I went to God about it. Like, it has to be more to it than this. And so that's when I realized, okay, but when God tells us to bring the tithe and the offering into the storehouse, he's going to bless the work of our hands. And there are promises that go with that. He says, I'm going to open up the window of heaven. I'm going to pour you out a blessing. I'm going to rebuke the devourer for your sake. And so I really started studying, instead of just the giving part, what are the promises that come along with giving? See, a lot of people don't know what the promises are.
Right.
And so with that, when I started understanding that, wait, there are promises that go along with my giving, and if I can get this flesh out of the way and just be obedient, you're going to see the reward. And so that's another thing, you know, that I understood. And what God is going to give you is an idea. And it's that idea, when you implement that idea, or you implement that strategy or that plan of action that God gives you, then you're going to start seeing results. And that's how I was able to walk my way out of the debt. That's how I was able to then turn around and raise up my credit score, and then start leveraging my credit score, because we've been taught wrong about even credit. But I was able to leverage my credit score to start creating wealth as well. And I started seeing my income and my purchasing power begin to increase as I began to invest the money in the right things and just stop consuming. You know, I was wasting a lot of money just buying stuff because we want to fill that void. And I just want to say, if I can say this to your audience, a lot of times we waste the money that we have because abundance is your inherent nature. And so that's why we buy without any limits on it, or we become consumers, because we're trying to fill that void for abundance. And but however, when you bring it under the lordship of God and you really learn how to operate these principles to your benefit, then that desire for abundance, or that should I say that thirst for abundance, gets quenched, but it gets quenched in the right way. And now you can begin to build true wealth, which is not necessarily all money. Money is one component of wealth, but money is not the only component of wealth. A lot of people think, I won't be wealthy till I have $1 million in the bank. And that's not true, okay? We have to figure out what are your values, what are your goals, what is it that you want out of life, what is it that you want to give to life, and then that's how we create your true wealth portfolio. So wealth is not just based on how much money you have. And I always challenge people. I say, I can take anybody. I don't care where you're starting from, you know, on a zero income, a fixed income, I've worked with people on six-figure incomes. I've worked with people that were millionaires. It doesn't matter where you start. Money emotions is a mentality. It's the emotional relationship that you have with money and the mental beliefs that you've built around money that's either repelling money or attracting, or repelling wealth, or attracting wealth to you.
Yeah, I totally agree with you with that. So I'm gonna let you know up front, because when I get upset, I spend money. Okay, so I don't have any other devices. I don't smoke. I don't drink. None of that. So when I get upset, I spend money, and it doesn't. You know, I've never had to go without money. So to tell me I got to budget some money, it's like, what?
Right.
I really never, you know, I got all I wanted. My parents spoiled me rotten. So we never, you know, was any lack. So for somebody to come say, look, you got to start this budget and save this money, I'm like, no, this is not going to happen.
Right. I agree. And I don't believe in budgets, you know, just for the record, I don't believe in budgets, and I don't believe in saving as we've been taught. You know, budget is restriction. Budget denotes, deprivation. You know, it makes you feel poor. It makes you feel broke. So words have power, right? And budget is not in the Bible. Now, I do believe you have to have a plan. I do believe that you store money for specific purposes, but saving, most people, you know, and the wealthy people will tell you that saving is for poor people. It's not for those that are really striving to create wealth. So no budget, you know, but you do have to have a financial plan. And when you're working your plan, you're free. That's the freedom that a plan gives you. But when we think in terms of a budget, it's usually to restrict us. And that's where most people are. They've been taught to just live within the framework of their income. And we don't depend on God beyond that. So if you make $3,000 a month, I gave my class a mantra the other day, and I told them, I said, you need to start saying, my income is the beginning, it's not the end. Because we've been taught to look at our income as all there is. And your income is not all there is, but as long as you're tunnel vision and you believe that your income is all there is, you won't seek anything outside of your income. So you'll just live your whole life on $3,000 a month, or you'll live your whole life on $10,000 a month. So, you know, getting those words right, so that we can expand our capacity to believe, and then based on what we believe is going to determine what shows up in our life.
Yeah, I totally agree with you that, and I am also thankful that, you know, God, like you said, God gives you a vision, and a lot of people are not trying to find the vision that God gave them. So I am so thankful that God is bringing right now into my life visionaries, because we're like-minded, we're headed down the same path. And, you know, a lot of times that's been missing in my life, visionaries, because when I talk to people, they like, You crazy girl. You can't even, you know, get to that point. So my hardest thing was to cut those type people away and move toward like-minded people that have visions.
Absolutely. And the scripture is clear: without vision, people perish. You know, and that's the first thing that I help people is develop your vision. Let's what, you know, what is that vision? And that just goes again with, you know, what do you want out of life? Because most of the time we're just going with the hand that we've been dealt, and we never shuffle the deck. We never change the deck, you know. And so whatever we've been dealt in life, we just trying to play that hand blindly. Whereas when you have a coach, or when you have a mentor, or, you know, someone that you respect come alongside of you, they can help you reshuffle the deck, and they can help you play a better hand and really see life from a different perspective.
That is so, so true. But, you know, people don't want to invest in themselves, what I find out. But it doesn't matter because, like I said, my focus is not on how much it's going to cost for me to get where I got to go. Because like you said, mm-hmm. God is going to make the provision for you. So why just put a limit on, you know, if my coach charged me $5,000 to coach me, to get me to my God-driven destiny, to make billions, I mean, that's a no-brainer, Dr.
Absolutely.
But it's like, you know, they were like, you pay, you know, not saying I paid that, but yeah, because I see the value, like you said, I see the value that's what's getting me to where I need to make that end. Because I would have never dreamed that I would have been in Black Enterprise magazine. That was nothing I even never considered in life.
That's huge, because you took that first step. That is awesome, and congratulations again for that. You know, yes.
Well, thank you, because it was funny with that, because then I got a complimentary ticket to the Black Enterprise Summit. And I think everybody should attend that summit. I mean, I never heard of it. You know what I'm saying? But it was such a eye-opening experience for me. Into, I don't know how much the tickets usually cost, but, you know, I got the complimentary ticket, and I took advantage of it. And that's what God does. He provides you stuff for free, okay?
Yes, and when you get into that flow, you'll find, and it's grace, but everything is free. I always say everything that God gives us is free and it's big, but it comes with the obedience. He says, I'll give you the desires of your heart. So back to vision, you know, I'll give you the desires of your heart, but if we don't have anything in our heart, you know, or we just think everything is hard, then that's what we're going to get. You know, that's what we're going to get. And so taking that step, getting with a coach, you know, that was one of the great things that I did. I was able to get with actually several coaches. And one of the things I did at first, I remember I went to a Les Brown conference, and I choked, you know, this was years ago, back in the early 2000s, I choked when they told me $25,000. You know, now I can laugh at that. But back then, I choked. I said, okay, this is what it takes to play. Then I got to figure out a way. And so I realized in that moment when I choked on that price, I said, okay, God, if I don't figure out a way to do that, then I'll never break out of where I am. So, again, you know, we look at, oftentimes everybody's trying to get some more money, but we let money be the determining factor of what we won't go into. So never look at money, never let money make the decisions for you. You got to say, okay, I see what that is. Let me figure out a way to make that happen. Never say I can't afford it. Like, those are words that I never say. I never say I can't afford it. And then because of that, and so I said, okay, well, I don't, so watch this, and this is good. I said, I don't have $25,000 right now, but what I can do at my level, I can get myself in the room where these people are. So I started attending events. I started positioning myself. I started studying wealthy people. I started doing things that I could do for free. And believe it or not, that ended up opening the door to me sitting at the table with billionaires and millionaires and gleaning from them. And the thing that I've learned is they all love God. You know, we have this you know, stereotype that rich people don't love God, but all the wealthy people that I met, they all love God. They all talked about, you know, God's place. And how they wouldn't be where they were. And the one thread that I saw that was common with everybody is, because I asked questions, you know, I didn't have the money at the time, but I could ask questions for free.
Right.
And so I would ask the question, how did you get where you are? What made you get into your line of profession? And almost without fail, every one of them would say, I obeyed the call of God on my life. Or,
yeah,
I obeyed the plan of God. This is what I believe my purpose is. This, you know, and I followed God. Every last one said that. I followed God. And so I say to those that are listening, don't let money deter you. You got to figure it out. I mean, you only got one or two options. Either you're going to figure it out or you're going to stay where you are.
That's true. And you know, I was on a cruise with Miles Monroe did you ever meet him personally?
Absolutely. I never, my husband did, and I so hate that I missed that opportunity, but he is my spiritual father, and actually that's one of the things that's been prophesied, is that I really carry his anointing, and probably because I've studied everything he's ever written and just admire him because he really is the person that taught me kingdom business when I was struggling with, you know, nobody's going to want to hear about kingdom wealth. Who's going to listen to me? People that are in the church don't believe in wealth. They don't believe in prosperity. You know, that's where I was when I first started in journey. It's like I got a lot of kickback. People don't believe in it. But now, you know, so Dr. Miles Monroe was the one that helped me build the confidence for this ministry, because it's like everything that God, a lot of the things that God was showing me, he was teaching it. And I'm like, okay, I'm not the only one. I'm not crazy. I am really hearing from God in this particular area, and this is something that God wants for the body of Christ. And on that note, I think with this pandemic, now is the time more than ever. So I am so thankful for the groundwork that Dr. Miles Monroe laid before he left here, and the information that he left in the earth. And that's another powerful thing. This, you know, even though he's not physically present with us, his voice is still in the earth, and his teaching on kingdom economics is still in the earth. And so for all of us, when we walk in our purpose, even though we will eventually transition, the work that we do will still be left here in the earth for generations to come. And I think that's true wealth, is my point. Like, true wealth is when your teaching and the wisdom and revelations that God gives you can continue to serve generations after you.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. But the thing that impressed me by him, and I know you know his life story, and girl, I was sitting on that cruise listening to how he grew up and to see where he was at that point. But the thing that stuck with me after I left that cruise was that he said the graveyard is the richest place on earth. Because most people do not reach their purpose while they're on here. And that was a stepping stone for me to get up and not let mine take me to the grave, okay?
Right.
Well, Dr. Hemp, I really, really thank you for taking out time of your busy schedule to do this interview with me today. So could you give my listeners three nuggets that would help them live a better life and to help them get into what you define as financial freedom so they can be a blessing and leave a legacy for their children and their children's children and their children's children's children?
Well, thank you so much for having me today. This has been really exciting, and I've enjoyed every minute. And the three nuggets that I would leave with people is, number one, God is your source. He said that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you, and that, again, he will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. The way to tap into that is to discover your purpose and begin to develop in the purpose that God has given for you. Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the plan that I have for you to prosper you and to bring you to an expected end. So your wealth is connected to your purpose. That's where you're going to find the fulfillment and the joy in what you're doing. And then number three, spend time in the presence of God so that you can hear the instruction that God is giving you, and he will lead you into your wealthy place. But, you know, we have to surrender to it and accept that that is the will of God, and then allow God. Then when you do that part, God will connect you. So even listening to this radio broadcast is one of God's ways of connecting you with the information and the people that you're going to meet in the earth to help you carry out your purpose and fulfill the plan of God for your life. So that's it.
Okay, and Dr. Hamm, tell my listeners how to connect with you on social media.
So you can yes, on social media, on Instagram, Sonya Hamm Empowers, and that is Sonya Hammimpowers. So Sonya Hamm Empowers. And then on Facebook, Dr. Sonya Hamm. And on my website is sonyahamm.com. And you can go there and join my email list for free. It's no cost. I would love to connect with you. And I look forward to growing great together as we go forward in the plan of God for all of our lives.
Okay, my listeners, you got it from Dr. Sam. Now, she's ready to help you get that wealth so you can be a blessing and leave a legacy for your children. Again, Dr. Hamm, I do appreciate you and thank you and love you so much for taking out time of your busy schedule on a Saturday morning to do this interview with me and give my listeners those nuggets so they can live the best life that they can. Broadcasting from Brashani Radio, iHeart Life from New York City, this is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe. If you want to know more about me and what I do, go to lindamonroe.com. I'm telling you, don't forget to go to Google Play and download the Brashani Radio app. You can listen to us on the go. We're live talking about in and everything in New York City. This show is sponsored by Brashani Detailing, Terry Ingram, CEO. Have wheels, will clean. Also, go to lindamonroe.com, order my book. It'll be a great Christmas present. It's a book of my life's journey and telling you how I started out and where I got to where I am today. So it's called Against All Odds. Go and order that. I have it in paperback and audio. So if you don't want to read, I'll read it to you. Be a blessing to someone else and give that out to them for a present for Christmas. I would appreciate it, and I will send you a gift as well. So, Dr. Hamm, I hope you have a blessed Saturday, the rest of the weekend. And also, we're coming up for Thanksgiving, so I would like my listeners to write 10 things that they are thankful for and just keep repeating them this weekend, because life and death is in the power of the tongue. Until next week, same place, same station. All is well, and God loves you, and so do I. Have a great day. Thank you, Dr. Hamm.
Thank you. God bless.
Thank you.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Stan, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.